This morning, let us spend a few minutes in the New Testament talking about a passage. Well, I guess the background passage would be Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. That's the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And probably you're aware that we're familiar with the parable, but helping people has risks involved in it. Back a few years ago, there was a young lady by the name of Lisa Turti. She was on the interstate in Los Angeles and was involved in a car wreck. She had a friend with her in the car, and it was a very serious accident. The car was mangled and pushed off the interstate and down an embankment. And no one was coming to their aid. She was able to get out of the car. And as she kind of gathers herself and tries to, make sure that she's okay, she sees the car beginning to smoke and smolder. And her friend is conscious, but she can't get out of the car. She's pinned. And she's crying for help, and she sees smoke coming from the car. And so this friend grabbed and pulled and tugged and worked and finally got her friend out of the car and drug her to a distance that would be safe if the car exploded. In the process of removing her from that car that was burning, she ended up apparently injuring her spine that was already injured from the car wreck. And as a result, this friend of hers became a paraplegic. The friend, rather than showing gratitude for being helped, sued her for the harm that she did while she was trying to help her. Now, I know that we have in the United States what we call Good Samaritan laws. And those laws protect a good Samaritan, somebody who's just going along the way and they see somebody in distress, and you act in good faith, trying to do what is reasonable and not negligent. If you try to help that person and that person is injured in your attempts, you're not going to be liable. That's generally true. But this is a case where the courts overruled and said that friend can sue this lady because she injured her in this way. So what I want us to talk about this morning is, how can we help people without hurting them at the same time? That's not always easy. And that's what we're kind of in the business in. We're kind of in the business of trying to help people. We're trying to lift people's eyes up to see Jesus. We're trying to get people to don't go down that way. Come back over here. Walk this way, because that's the way that leads to our Father. But as we try to help people make those good, right decisions, it can be that we sometimes aren't really helping. But as we try to help, we're actually hurting. And I want to give you a few examples this morning and maybe some advice that will help us to be able to help without hurting those who are needing our help. And here's the first thing to consider as we try not to hurt when we help. First of all, we need to determine to be a helper. Don't be the guy that walks by. Don't be the priest and the Levite in the story in Luke chapter 10 that just kind of walk by the other side and they see that man lying in the ditch and they say, oh, wow, boy, that looks rough. Glad it's not me. And just keep right on going. If we want to be a help, then we first have to make that decision. Let's make the decision, determine to be a helper. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Jesus said, Luke was recording this. There we go. In Acts 10 and verse 38, Luke was recording how that Jesus went about and he did good. And that's what we need to be. We need to be like him. In Luke chapter 10, this passage, the parable of the Good Samaritan, we have the same thing. Here's a man unlikely to do good, two men who were likely to do good, and those that were religious didn't, and the one that you wouldn't think would do good, he's the one who did good. Let's begin by saying, I want to be a helper. I don't want to go through my life and just turn my eyes and become deaf to the cries of those who are in need. I don't want to become blind to the hurts that people are dealing with. Listen, in a congregation of this size, man, there are people sitting here that are hurting. There are things going on in their lives that are difficult, and they're struggling to stay above water. And if we know that, what how do we respond? You see, the parable of the Good Samaritan is not a parable that's about when you get in an automobile and drive down the highway. That's not. If that's your view of that parable, you've really kind of missed it. It's much broader than that. Because what we often do with that is we say, well, you know, it's not safe to pick up people on the side of the road like it used to be. And so we excuse ourselves from doing anything. That's not what the parable's about. Here's the parable. The parable says, do you see someone in need? What are you doing? How are you helping? Or are you helping? We need to get involved in people's lives. If I know a person is in distress, in hurting for whatever reason, I have a choice to make. Will I be a helper or will I walk by? Jesus calls us to help. In fact, in that passage at the end of Luke chapter 10, verse 36 to 37, he asked that lawyer who asked, who is your neighbor? He said, now, which one do you think was the neighbor? And he said, well, the one who helped. And he said, and you're right. And I'm telling you to go do likewise. So we need to do that. So if we're going to help and not hurt, let's first of all determine, I'm going to be a helper. I'm going to make that decision. Second thing is, don't apply too much pressure. You know, if we're going to consider the idea of a wound, you can apply so much pressure that you do damage because of the blood flow is restricted. You might put too much pressure on. And the same is true with reference to, you know, if we can make a spiritual application to that. I know brethren who want to constrict God's law. They want to make it oppressive. And it's a law of liberty. They want to bind their opinions on the shoulders of other people and make them live by their scruples. And the weight of that eventually wears people down. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15, he was talking about, it's that chapter where he just really gives a scathing rebuke of the Pharisees. And one of the things he said is, you guys travel all over the place trying to make a disciple, a proselyte. You go out and you find someone, you're evangelistic. But when you get done with them, they are twice the sons of hell than they were before. You guys have set them on a course that's going to lead to their destruction. You think you're helping, but you're hurting. And it was because of the way they approached the scriptures and the legalism in which they were engaged. Galatians chapter 1 talks about this gospel that was preached and how that they were perverting it. And he said, you know, you can't even call it a gospel. Because the gospel's good news, and what you've done to it has made it, it's not good news. And he describes what he means by that in chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. They begin to tack on all these things that weren't a part of the gospel, but you got to do them. You got to do them. Circumcision, you have to observe the feast days, you have to withhold from certain foods and drinks. And so they made all their addendums to the gospel of Christ. They're making it too tight, too constricted, and they can't bear up under it. It's a burden, and Jesus or Paul says it was a burden that your forefathers couldn't bear as well. He said, what I have done is I've called you to liberty and I've set you free, and don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. There's the doctrine of Christ that we must follow. But I'm not obliged to follow the ideas and the opinions and the scruples of men. Well, I think it's a good idea if we do this. Well, okay, that may be, but if that's not your idea, you don't have to live by my ideas. You do have to live by what the Word of God says, but when I start binding my doctrine or my beliefs, my opinions, I'm making this way too tight. And before long, a person's going to feel like, wow, what is this I've gotten into? This is just heavy. This is just a bunch of rules and regulations, and I don't see these in the Scripture, but I'll be out of fellowship if I don't live to all these extra things put on me. If we want to help people, we need to bring them to Christ and not tack on addendums and hoops that they have to jump through to be faithful to Christ. Let's only bind them by what the Lord has given. The third thing is, if I want to be a helper and not just one who also hurts, then I also need to supply sufficient pressure to a wound. If a person's hurting, I can't make it too tight, but I can't relax it either, because they'll lose blood if they were in wounded. And the same thing is true with reference to this spiritual application. There are people that want to just pile it on and bind and bind and bind, tighter and tighter and tighter. You have to do this and this and this, and God didn't say that. And then the other extreme is, you know, God's gracious. I know it says that, but surely God's not going to get upset if you go ahead and do it. There are warnings, 2 John 9, we're not to go onward. We're not to go beyond or transgress the law of Christ. Please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 says we're not to go beyond that which is written. So, you know, there's this idea that, well, no, I can't bind too much, but I can't loose too much either. If I want to be helpful, here's the bottom line. I need to teach people the Word of God. I don't need to bind my opinions, and I don't want to try to find loopholes to what this says. Let it guide our lives. Let it be our rule. And don't loose it, and don't make it any more burdensome than what it is. There's another thing that we need to do, and that is that we don't want to enable people. What I mean by that are there are sometimes people will come and they'll say, you know, I want help, I need help, and I need help, and I need help, and they're always taking and taking and taking, and we're trying to be Christ-like, and we want to help people, but we're not helping when we help a person evade responsibility. We're not helping when we enable people to escape from the responsibilities that God has given them. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. If a man is too lazy to work, if he chooses not to work, I'm not doing it. It's hard, makes me perspire, I don't want to do it. I'd rather you just give it to me. Paul said, don't give it to them. Let them go hungry. You're not helping when you allow them to escape the responsibilities that God has given upon them. And folks, it's a hard thing, but there are people like that in this world. There were people like that in Jesus' world. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 6. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. Tremendous thing. I mean, the miracle of it all, just the impact it had on people. 5 loaves, 2 fish, feeds 5,000 men, and people are amazed. They're so amazed. Look at what they want to do in verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. After Jesus gave them food, they said, wow, this guy, we're making him king. He fed them. He's the best thing in the world. He's the best thing that's come along. Let's make him king. He fed us. Well, that's what they said in verse 15. But look how soon their opinion changes as Jesus meets them the next day and they're back for more food. And on this occasion, Jesus says, listen, the only reason you're following me is because you want a free meal. I have bread to give you, but it's spiritual in nature. You need to partake of me and not just physical bread. I'm the bread of life, and that's who you need to be concerned about. Your focus needs to get off this physical stuff, and you need to get your focus on this spiritual stuff. Listen to what they said in verse 41. The next day, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. Whoa, wait. Yesterday, they said, let's make him king because he fed them. Today, they're complaining because he won't feed them. Well, he will, but it's not the kind of food they want. And then look at what happens eventually as you go through and look at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You know what that passage tells me? That even Jesus wouldn't always render the assistance that people want to people who want it. Just because somebody comes along and makes a demand and you have the ability, the resources to meet their demand or their expectation doesn't mean you should. Jesus could have fed them that day too, but he chose not to. And he revealed their heart. They were only interested in the food. They had no spiritual inclination at all. And when he tried to offer the spiritual food instead of the physical food, they got angry and left. Well, folks, if we really want to help people, we don't help them by just giving them everything they want. We don't help people just by acquiescing to every demand that they make. Sometimes we need to say no. Not only in benevolence, but also in spiritual things as well. Sometimes we need to say no. And the result of that is often telling as to the spiritual direction that person is taking. And then here's the last point that I want to share with you. If you want to help without hurting, don't make it about you. Have you ever known anybody to do something good, and when they do that good, they want everybody to know they did that good? Hey, did you see what I did last week? Put my name in a bulletin. I once knew a person. We made a list of people who had taught Bible class, and I accidentally left a name off. Bulletins are the most dangerous document that you'll ever have to write. This was years ago. It didn't happen here. But I wrote and I made a list and I left one person off, totally unintentional. The person quit. They were that mad they quit because I forgot their name. It wasn't in writing. There are people like that. If it's not about me, I'm not gonna play. If it's not about me, count me out. And that's not what Jesus says, and it's not what Paul said. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13, if you're going to do good, then do it, but don't do it to get credits. If you do, it's just like a clanging bell or a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. You can give your body to be burned. You can die for someone else. You can die for the cause of Christ. But if you did it to get your name in a history book and have everybody remember you, you did it for the wrong reason. It amounts to nothing. you can sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And if you did it to draw attention to yourself, well, you've done just that. You've drawn attention to yourself, but that's all you've done. You've gotten no reward from your Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 16. When you pray to be seen, well, you get your reward. You get seen. When you give to be seen, well, you get that. You get seen, but that's all you get. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven." If we're helping someone to manipulate them to your own advantage, if I have a pet project that I'm going to show compassion to this person, but at the end of the day, I'm using them to make myself look better, that doesn't mean anything to God. You're not accomplishing what you're setting out. Well, you are. You're making yourself look like something, but that's all you're getting out of that. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. So as we go out this week, you're going to run into coworkers. You're going to run into friends at school. You're going to run into family members who are having difficulties. Decide to be a helper. Seriously, let's seek people that we know are having problems, and let's minister. Let's do good. And as we do good, let's make sure that the good we do isn't hurting, that it's really helping. And when we do that, man, there's no better feeling than to know that you've allowed God to use your life as an instrument in His providence, and you're able to allow God to work in people's lives through you. And that's what the 350 or so of us can do this week. We can leave here and go out and let God use all 300 of us as instruments of His providence to help those who are hurting. Let's be about that task. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, why don't you obey the gospel? What an honor it is to be able to work for God, to work in tandem, to be, you know, a fellow laborer, a fellow partaker of His promises. If you're not yet a child of God, why don't you obey the gospel and take advantage of that opportunity that we have? If you're a child of God already but unfaithful and you want to get back, you want to do right, you want to be a helper in this cause, we'll pray with you to that end if you'll come as we stand together and sing.